You know, first, I think I need to commend all of you for your excellent training and preparation for this morning. You got all the way through both of those hymns and that first prayer, and nobody fainted. It's very, very impressive. I think you are all ready for the marathon. I'm proud of you. After all these years, you would have thought that I had finally figured out, you know, who you are. Heaven knows it has taken me long enough. Looking back on it, I am sure the reason it took me so long was that I thought I knew. You know, I just thought I knew who all of you were. But as in so many failures, part of the blame has to go to my seminary training, I think. Because that is where they tell you for the first time about this peculiar tribe of people that you're going to meet up with when you step into your church on a day like this. Maybe you have heard of them. I'm not sure the legends really ever get outside of the walls of the seminary, but I learned of them as Christmas and Easter people. There were legends about this ancient tribe. Something more like a cult, really. They mysteriously materialized in churches on the two principal feast days of the Christian year. Well, actually, Christmas Eve and Easter Day. There are very few reported sightings of them in any church on Christmas Day. But virtually all other days of the year, and for 51 out of 52 Sundays, they mysteriously vanished. Research expeditions were launched in the middle of the 20th century to try to study their native habitat and living places. Those brave researchers went out into the suburbs of the great cities because that is where it was thought they might be found. Some of them never returned. So I suppose I thought, you know, that this would be my experience here at St. John's. I guess that's what I thought I had figured out. On this day, on Easter Day, we would have a fleeting glimpse of that rare species. They would come and be with us. But you know, that hasn't turned out to be true. Oh, there are Christmas Eve people, that's for sure. But all of you, well, you're just all different. You are not the disappearing sort. I've been thinking about this, and I have come to the conclusion that, like so many other things, what really happened to that Christmas and Easter species, well, it was climate change. The Christmas and Easter species turned out to be highly sensitive to changes in the climate of our religious culture. That climate turns out still to be pretty safe at Christmas time. There's a huge cultural affirmation of Christmas, mostly having to do with the peculiar alignment of the religious holiday with our consumerist culture. Pretty much the whole species of Christmas and Easter people can flourish in that climate. And they bloom in the pews right alongside the poinsettias on Christmas Eve. But one of the most dramatic changes in the climate of religion and culture has been its effect on the season of Lent and the Feast of Easter. All of a sudden, the cloud cover that used to provide some fog for those Christmas and Easter people to show up here today has evaporated. And to come to church on Easter Day now, they have to venture out into the harsh sunlight of publicity. They have to be willing to say something about just why they would show up in church on Easter Sunday morning. The change in our cultural climate has stripped away what used to be the protection of the crowds. To be here this morning in church, well, I mean, it used to be the thing you just automatically put in your diary right before the brunch reservation. But now it really means something. Going to church on Easter Sunday morning, it means that you are coming here to stand for something. And not just for anything, you are here for the very reason the church exists. So I think I figured it out. A new species has emerged. You are Easter people, and I am too. We Easter people, we're the ones who have adapted to the cultural climate change, and we can come out into the sunlight without fear. We know why we're here. We might be a little hazy on the particulars, but we know what today is about. Today is about resurrection. Today is about God acting in human time to give us a way of living outside of time, eternal life. Today is the day that we are taught that God never abandons us, that the power of love always wins in the end, and that between now and the end, there are some pretty stiff odds against mercy and justice ever getting a fair hearing, unless we stick together. Today is the day we stand for something we know is true, even if we cannot explain it to the standard of scientific proof, that Jesus, not the baby in the manger, but the crucified, broken body of the executed man, was restored to life in a way that fundamentally changed the reality of the people who met him on the road. Of course we can't explain it to the standards of science. If we could, it wouldn't be faith that we are about here. But that is what it is. Thanks be to God, we are a community of faith, not a community of proof. So the gift that Easter gives to us Easter people, if we trouble to hunt for it just a little bit in the places where it gets hidden, that gift is grace. Not just the possibility of leading graceful lives, but the eyes to see it, the ears to hear it, the sense to perceive it where it can be found. And whether it's in our own lives or in the lives of the graceful people around us, it is grace that is what sustains us in faith beyond the need of any scientific proof. It is what brings us back to life again when we feel doubt or despair or confusion. Back before the days of cultural climate change, we lived in an environment that was lush and supportive for faith. Nobody looked funny at you for going to church. In fact, people sort of looked funny at you if you didn't go to church, especially the people who went every week and still didn't really have a clear grasp on the whole love and mercy part. But now, when we leave here, we go out into what is a pretty barren wilderness. That is the place where we Easter people have to dwell through the days that stretch between Sunday and Sunday and Sunday. But we have this to hold on to. Christ is risen. Grace is around us even in this wilderness. If we will just look for it, love will win. Though the trials may be long and sorrowing, and even if it takes angels and earthquakes, God will break down the power of death. The death of our hopes, the death of our little ambitions, the death of our cherished loves, even the death of our bodies. God will reach right into our tombs and bring us back to irrepressible, unyielding life. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen.